You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
1 Corinthians chapter 6. Matter against another go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints. Don't you know that the saints shall judge the world? If the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Don't you know that you shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it not so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud that your brethren. Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkenness, revelers, nor extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God. And some, such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. And the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. The Lord for the body. God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Don't you know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Don't you know that he which is joined under a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined under the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. He that committeth sin against his own body. He that committeth fornication sins against his own body. What, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are of God. May the Lord add his blessing now to the reading of this, his holy word, and this for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen. I was afresh to thank you for this, another opportunity, and for this fellowship. Cognizant at the same time of the sobering message that we have this morning, and therefore recognize our limitations and our needs, and pray for your grace in a very special way as you cleanse us and sanctify us, each individually, and that to your purpose. Be careful at the same time to acknowledge not only the need, but to thank you for what you're going to do about each detail this morning. And this grace, because we ask it in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, to pull our thinking together, this church at Corinth is so apropos in the 20th century that it's almost scary. It depicts not only the local condition of that day, but also the many things that need to be corrected today. In that day, as we've learned earlier in these studies, that church at Corinth, which had just come out of a pagan background, many of the grave clothes of the philosophies of the Greeks were still prevalent in that society. They were very intellectual type people, and they were very proud of that background, that heritage. Much of it was showing up in the church at Corinth. They had become followers of the Christian leaders, just like they had been followers of philosophers. Some said that they were of Paul, some said that they were of Peter, some said that they were of Apollos, some said that they were of Christ. They were picking up, simply changing labels, so to speak. The Scripture says, "Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for whereof is he to be a Canada?" Today you look over the vast numbers of Christians, you find literally thousands of labels. We're more divided now than we were then. There are only four divisions named there, but today we've got different labels on the front of every church in the country almost. Ours is an exception. We don't have a name out there except the Northside Bible Church. Therefore, we're purists. So we wouldn't fall in that category, naturally. But you see, beloved, when you become followers of men, there's certain things that are like night following the day. The very laws that govern us follow in the same pattern. And it's reflected in the lives of these people. They still haven't gotten the message. The only thing you can trust, beloved, is this blessed book, which is the written word of God, which unfails to us, the living word of God. As I said, we're purists. We just teach the Bible. It says so out front. Whether you believe that or not. In any case, the following of men and labels shows it reflects itself in what takes place. And Paul says to them, "I'd like to write to you as spiritual, but I can't because you're carnal." And for 11 chapters, we're now in chapter 6, Paul begins to deal with each one of these circumstances that he calls carnal. As we've seen, result of their carnality, they failed to be good stewards of the secrets of God that was given to them for the edification of those around. Not only that, but moral sin. Last week we saw the sin of incest, a thing that's being practiced, seems, on a big basis today. Today we come to another subject, a difficulty there. And you'll notice all these things, beloved, as we look through this, reflect and show why the world looks upon us as hypocrites, and rightly so. Quite frequently, "Oh, I don't want to go to church. There's a bunch of old hypocrites over there." And you know, they're right. That shouldn't keep them out, because they're hypocrites too, but they ought to join us and come along. But nevertheless, that's what they say, and rightly so. Now, one of the difficulties at Corinth was that, notice chapter 6. Again, English is not strong enough. If you put the real emphasis here, Paul is saying, "How dare you?" That's what he's saying. How dare you? To go to law with the unjust. That word unjust is a dickamous. It means the unqualified. The world is not qualified to judge God's people. It takes God's people to set in judgment upon God's people, not the world. How dare you go to the unqualified and not before the saints? Again, that word saints, I want you to get the force of it. Those are the called out of God, those that have been set aside. Doesn't mean that they're fine folk, because this book here, 1 Corinthians, shows that they weren't. They were rotten. But nevertheless, God, Paul said, how dare you to go before the unqualified with your problem? Don't you know that the saints, the called out, those set apart of God, shall judge this world system? That's what the word cosmos means, the order of things as it is. In the final analysis, you will be the judge of this evil age that we live in. And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Don't you know? That's the force again here. Don't you know that you shall judge the angels? Many of God's people don't realize that. The angelic world will be judged by you. We're to rule and reign with Christ. That's one of the things it means, to rule and reign with Him. If you're a child of God, from the day you were born, you were separated unto God from the womb. The Galatian letter shows us that fact. I don't understand it, but that's what it says. At that minute in time, you were appointed from the Most High an angelic being to look after your affairs according to the purpose of God. And one day, all the records will be opened, and you'll be able to see what a good steward that angel was or wasn't. And based upon the facts, you'll be the one to set in judgment upon the rewards or not for that angelic being. They're all ministering spirits. We're told that in Paul's writing to the Hebrew church. They're all ministers of God on our behalf. You think back in your own life as a child, many of you wouldn't be sitting here alive in this room if it had not been for that creature that God set over you in the time you wouldn't even be here. One day you shall judge those angels based upon the record. Consequently, and this again, I have no right to set in judgment on this matter, but we're told never to forsake the assembling of ourselves. Now, we only do that once a week here, and only for 30 or 40 minutes. We draw strength from one another. And if you fail to do that, it certainly isn't because you don't know better. You should know better if you don't. If you don't, let me assure you that that's one of the purposes of coming. Don't think it's just coming here to get something out of it. It's something that is a necessary thing. You have to be here because we draw from one another. And when you take the pleasures of this life to satisfy the needs of this old body, instead of attending to the thing that you need to do to assemble yourselves, I assure you, in most cases, the exceptions to all rule, in most cases, you're out of the will of God. It's that simple. Now, verse 4, if you then have judgments of things pertaining to this life, And this last phrase is what we might call holy satire. Set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. He's really cracking the whip in an underhanded way here. Not overhanded, but a backhanded way. And he said, I'm saying this to your shame. It's satire. I think sometimes we think that some of the things that the Bible says is rather perplexing, but if you knew the emphasis of what's being said, it wouldn't be so funny. It's satire. You mean to tell me that you can't take care of your own household? In fact, in another place, Paul said, he that don't take care of his own is worse than an infidel. He's a denied the faith. Not talking about this particular thing, but it's inclusive of that. If we can't take care of our own, Paul said, why don't you just take the very ones you esteem the least then? I speak this to your shame. It's Has it come to this little phrase? Is it so, or has it come to this? Have you sunk to that place? That there's not a wise man among you? Have you reached the place of that nobody has any light in that organization? You're all walking in darkness, all of you? I speak this to your shame, Paul said. No, not one shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now, therefore, there's utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one another. Why do you not take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong. That is, you do just like the unjust, the unqualified, that's what that means again, and defraud your brethren. Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, that word kingdom is all right, but to let you see what he's really saying, the government of God, that's what a kingdom is, a government. And for God's people, concerning matters amongst God's people, it ought to be settled here, not out there. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have a citizenship and exercise it as far as the world is concerned. But amongst God's people, it ought to be settled here. For instance, Paul, when he dealt with the world, he insisted upon his Roman citizenship. You remember how on an occasion he was arrested and that illegally, and when they found out he was a Roman citizen, they were afraid of the repercussions, and they kind of begged him to be a little bit light on them. And he made him come down and personally apologize, not only that, but to assure him that the other Christians were not going to be bearing the brunt of his situation after he was gone. Because, you see, you didn't punish a Roman citizen without due process. This is happening in this country. A lot of men today are in trouble without due process. We're not talking about those things. We're talking about the things that goes on between God's people. God's people ought to take care of their own. They don't need to get their dirty linen and spread it out before other people. They need to do it right here. Just like last week, you remember, we saw how God's people were called upon to deal with a very serious problem. Don't take it before those that are not qualified to deal with the problems of God's people. Now, if you deal with the world, then you're going to have to go to the world court. You don't settle it here. You settle it out there. But amongst God's people, you settle the problem here. If you did that, you know, when we take of the Lord's Supper, we always refer to the fact that if you have something against a brother in Christ, you need to get that off record, straightened out between you and the Lord before you take of those of the cup, because it breaks up the fellowship. And you remember in the first chapter in our studies here, the first thing that's called to our attention, that we've been called into the fellowship of His Son. And that's what this is, a fellowship of God's people that belongs to His body. Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the government of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, those who practice these things, neither idolaters, nor adulterers, or effeminate. And this little phrase here needs to be emphasized. I'm sorry they didn't translate it, because it needs today especially. Nor sodomites. That's the word here. I hear a lot of arguments about on whether this is justified in public life or not. But notice what the Holy Spirit says, that the sodomites, those who practice this thing, have no part. You see, sodomy, I didn't mean to get on this morning, but while I'm at it, because I think it's important in our time. The first chapter of Romans tells that sodomy, its very existence is a result of the rejection of light. It is evidence that God has turned such a one over for the destruction of the flesh. Just as the thing we looked at last week in incest, another thing that God deals with in a very harsh way. Sodomy is one of those things. So there's no justification for it by saying that they were born in it. They were not born in it. The reason that they became that is because they rejected the light, the truth that God placed before them. That's the reason they got in. Now, that's not me setting a judgment upon them. That's what the Word of God says. Nor thieves, those who constantly steal, those who practice covetousness, those who are continually drunkards, revelers, extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Extortion has become a way of life in America. They don't call it that anymore. It's kind of halfway legitimate. But it's not right, and God will deal with it. And Paul reminds them in verse 11. That's what you people were, some of you. Just because you've been washed, cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word, just because you've been sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Now, all this was true as far as the saints there were concerned. They were cleansed. They were sanctified. They were justified before God. That's why they were saved people. But they were living in the flesh. That's what we learned about the early part of the book. They were living as carnal people. And they were puffed up about it because of their intelligence. They're pretty smart folk, you know. They were not the common riffraff. In fact, the matter is this here, this part of this bunch were part of them, not all of them. Part of them were the silk stocking. Nothing wrong with silk stockings. In fact, I like silk. But they were that class of people, you know. They were the intelligent people. Some of them were poor people, too. But they weren't. In fact, we'll learn a little bit later. The poor people in that assembly were in one little clique, and the rich people over here in another little clique, and the middle class were another little clique, and each one going his own way, you know, doing his own thing. Of course, they don't do that today in the modern church. Now, we don't either. I trust we don't. But he reminds them that that's what they've come out of. Now, automatically, there's people in the audience that these Corinthians, particularly those who were so-called informed. Well, Paul said, we're not under the law. And the Holy Spirit, anticipating through Paul, answers that real quick. Well, all things are lawful for me, that's true. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. This is the word exousia, the authority of any. A lot of things that are legitimate are lawful for me, but I won't participate in if it becomes an authority in my life. It's just not going to be allowed to. That's what Paul is saying. There's some things that are lawful for you to do in the privacy of your own home. I'll tell you a ridiculous story. I had a great aunt who lived to be 103. And she could get away with this because of her age. But she used to pull her teeth out after she eat and set them up on the table. That's lawful for a 103-year-old woman to do that. But it's not expedient. You know, it's not the thing to do. I see people at dinner time talking to others about subject matter that doesn't fit in well with food as far as I'm concerned. And there's nothing unlawful about it, but it's not expedient. Much of the trash that we're seeing on television and things a lot of times, a lot of those things are lawful, but they're not expedient to be propagated in the public. See? Just because a thing is lawful doesn't make it expedient, because it'll become an authority, you see. Now, he demonstrates that in a very practical way. And people are always, you know, today, meats for the belly and belly for the meats. Well, people, they're vegetarians, you know, that won't eat meat. And they say, well, it's destructive. Let me say this, and I take a lot of vitamins myself because I think it makes me feel better. But if you think that vitamins or anything that you're going to do like this is going to prolong your life, if you're looking at it from that vantage point, then you're whistling Dixie. And I don't believe the South is going to rise again. In any case, whether it does or doesn't, meats are for the belly and the belly for the meats, and they'll both be destroyed, and that's all there is to it. Enjoy them. There's nothing wrong with that. Get the best out of it while you can. If you find something that your body agrees with it, makes you feel better, that's fine. Do it. But if you're looking for it to prolong your life, then I believe, like I said before, you're just whistling Dixie. Now the body, now here's why he said what he did up in verse 12. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, will also raise up us by his own power. Don't you know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. No, no, not at all. That's what Paul said. What, know you not that which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. Now, there's nothing wrong with an intimate relationship between a man and a woman. That's perfectly lawful under a lawful set of circumstances. But fornication is apart from that. You see? And Paul said you can't do that. You can't practice that. You join yourself to the as a harlot because you're joined to the Lord. And when you try to justify fornication, you see it won't work amongst God's people. Regardless of what propaganda says, it's only natural and it's a way of release. It isn't that at all. It's fornication. God's people joining himself, joined this way, as a harlot. That's making Christ a part of it, because you're a part of him. You see? All things are lawful to me in the right setting, but not this, you see. This is not for God's people to practice this thing. You say, well, you mean that goes on? Yeah, it goes on amongst God's people. In fact, the matter is, every once in a while, you even hear about a preacher, you know, get caught up in that situation. And the Lord only knows how much of it goes on. They don't know anything about it. That's what Paul. And you see, Paul was writing to people in the pagan world to appreciate. Well, the fact of the matter is, if you were in Greece, you'd find more temples there that used fornication as a means of worship. And these people come out of that background. They didn't think anything wrong with that. Now, they did think there's something wrong about living with your relatives that way, but I mean as far as the public was concerned. In fact, the most famous building in all of Greece is the Parthenon up on the Acropolis there. People come there all over the world. Look at that architect. Adjoining that building is another building. It's about to go down, but That second building where they was the house or the living quarters of these so-called vestal virgins. And they were nothing, I don't know why they called them vestal virgins, because they were nothing in the world but prostitutes. That the public came in there and participated in these orgies as a means of worship. Now that's the kind of people that got saved, you see. Paul was dealing with. He said, that's a horrible situation, boy, to be that blind. And yet, in the 20th century in America, do you ever stop to realize that 90% of the entertainment that attracts the American people is performed by these kind of folk? They're the celebrities. They're the people that get the honor. The young children today, if they knew they could become a movie star, they'd think that's something great, you know. You see? So maybe Greece wasn't so rotten after all. But that's the world. That shouldn't be a part of God's program. You talk about meddling man. Now, Paul was a meddler. He got right down to the reality of life. See? What? Don't you know that your body is a temple? That word temple is not the ordinary word for temple. That's not the heteron, the building itself. But that little Greek word is the naos. That's the sanctuary. That's the Holy of Holies. Don't you know that your body is the sanctuary, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own. Whatever you do with this body, remember, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the one who purchased you. And that, as the next verse goes on to say, you're bought with a price. That price is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are of God. You see, the spirit is something that you can't see. None of you ever saw a spirit. If you did, I'd like to know what they look like. But the body you see all the time. The body reflects what the spirit desires or does not desire. If the body of a saint is reflecting anything except for the glory of God's Son, in that degree you may recognize that the Spirit of God is not behind it. It's purely of the flesh. It's carnal. Now these things are said, written for our learning, beloved. We can see as we go through this book of Corinthians how that local church at Corinth depicts the church universal today with all of its different names, with all its many different divisions, with all of its faults, its hampers. And then to make it more than universal, it becomes personal so that we can see. We have a measuring stick to see where we fit in that category, whether we're actually living in a carnal state or living in a spiritual state, because this body is the reflection. Now, when you really see yourself as you really are, and Paul arrived there, you remember in the 7th chapter of Romans, what was his reaction? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And oh, what a relief it was when the Holy Spirit unveiled. He said, I thank God, he said, that in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of spirit, the law of death. That's why we're told in the 6th chapter of Romans to yield or to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, also in the 12th chapter. Everything about your body that is unveiled before our eyes in these first 11 chapters that dishonors God, the Holy Spirit, if you study to learn. And remember this, when you study the Bible, this Bible is a critic. It's to correct, to adjust the body to where it will conform into the likeness. And remember in Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the adjustments that are being made under the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's why it's necessary, beloved, that we be joined constantly with one another. In this way, the body grows, you see. We cannot grow. For instance, if your body, hurriedly, because our time is gone, but I want to leave this with you. Let's take our little assembly here. The spiritual growth of this assembly is dependent upon the whole. If my body is healthy in every sense, except I've got a skin cancer, or if I got a problem of my nervous system or something like that, to that degree, I'm hindered, don't you see? And each one of us go to make up a part of that. That's why it's necessary that we have a relationship that works with one another, that we take a few vitamins occasionally to help straighten out some of those problems. That's the vitamin that we need to take, of course, here is our real vitamin for our spiritual straightening out. This book is a critic. When the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will speak of what? Of righteousness, of sin, and of judgment to come. See, that's exactly. He's a critic. When you open this book up, open it as a critic. You see? Begin to do that. And the Holy Spirit will begin to teach you to show you how that the body is for the Lord and the Lord for the body. Just as a relationship of a man and a woman is one for the other, in the physical sense, in the spiritual sense, it's the same thing between you and the Lord. Father, thank you again for the word, the correction. May we not be just hearers of the word, but those who react under the direction of the Holy Spirit, the things that must go and the things that stay, realizing that all things are lawful for us, but all things are not expedient. Give grace, Lord, that you enlighten each one of us to the degree you desire in our own life for this day, and this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in his name we ask it. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.